Let's welcome the Office of the AG, led by Ms. Maipe. We are a committee that's not full house today, but that's because members are in other committees, because we belong to various committees, so today they're attending other committees. Except our DA people and the EFF who are not in the precincts today. We are happy to have you here to brief us on the AG outcome of our department, the audit outcome. Thank you so much. I'm not going to introduce members, because I take it you know all of them by now. Let's just, I don't know if you know our support staff. You do? Okay. Let's then continue and allow you to give us your feedback. And as far as the performance of our of the department we are overseeing, over to Ms. Maipe.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you very much for this opportunity. As you indicated, we do our annual audit, and it's now the time after all the audit reports and all the annual reports has been tabled for us to come and brief the Portfolio Committee on the outcomes for the Economic Development Portfolio. We hope that in doing this and providing you this information that it will also enable and assist the committee in terms of the committee's oversight role as well with, as with the budgetary review reporting process that you are currently busy with. I'm going to hand over to Jackie. She's the senior manager responsible for economic development as well as the other entities that we've audited and that we're going to report on. And with that, I'll hand over to her to take you through the presentation. The presentation, sorry, Chairperson, you might see there's slight differences in terms of what we initially briefed you on, but the message is exactly the same in terms of what we've briefed you on. It's just a the layout that we slightly aligned to all the other presentations.
Thank you, Corne, and thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity to present the audit outcomes for the economic development portfolio. I will be taking you through the presentation. Firstly, with regards to the reputational promise from the AGSA, matching it with the objectives of today on presenting the audit outcomes, and as Corne had already said, so briefly, the presentation will give the outcome on the portfolio, and this will then assist the portfolio committee to provide oversight on the entities within the portfolio. Our role as the AGSA is then to reflect on the audit work that we performed during the 2016-17 audit cycle. And once we've done this, we then present the audit outcomes to the Portfolio Committee. And as we said earlier on, that this will assist the Portfolio Committee in its oversight role of assessing the performance of the entities within the portfolio. In the next slide, we basically, as the office, have adopted a theme for the current year to improve audit outcomes, and the theme is on accountability. And our view with regard to accountability is there are four items that really contribute to improving accountability in any environment. And those four would be the planning process that would then be performed by the management of the various entities within the portfolio. And once they have planned the activities that they want to perform, they will then, through their daily activities, then engage in implementing the plan, which is where we deal with the do part of the accountability cycle. in doing the activities, they need to make sure that they adhere to the financial accounting framework. This is, they record transactions correctly according to the applicable accounting framework, and while doing that, that they also comply with the relevant legislation that's applicable, and also that where performance information is concerned, they comply with the framework for managing program and performance information. With regard to the check part, this is where the assurance providers then come in through either the internal audit, the external audit, and even the audit com, where we'll then provide relevant assurance based on the work that has been done by the various leaderships. And finally, it's on the Act where we then expect that the leadership of the various entities, based on those outcomes, will then implement consequence management where it is required. So if we move on to the next slide, and I will also touch on this later on when I speak on the revised methodology of the AJSA, to say as part of what we have done in the cycle of 16-17, it's really to look at the things that matter, the things that are important for the portfolio and for the department. So basically we looked at it from the National Development Plan to say what are the key focus areas that the portfolio needed to focus on for that particular cycle, and whether these outcomes have been drilled down into the annual performance plan of the various entities within the portfolio, and whether these are then set out clearly as proper targets in their annual performance plan, and taking this into account in line with the MTSF. So when we look at the next slide, which brings the two previous slides together, on accountability and the whole principle on auditing what really matters. So the first part there is on the planning. So if we take an example at economic development, where they are majority of the outcomes from the NDP that relate to EDD come from outcome 4, where they also then had these indicators and targets in their own annual performance plan. They then also had an indicator 15, which is KPI 15, and it reads as number of investment initiatives facilitated, fast-tracked and unblocked. In this space, the department planned to unblock any investment initiatives that that is brought to their attention. And it is on number 3, where it is the do, where then management is expected to, as said earlier on, that they will then perform activities within the specific KPI, where they will then make sure that they record the transactions according to the accounting framework, they comply with legislation, and then they also comply with the framework for managing performance information. An activity within this KPI, to give an example, was with regard to an entity that had requested the department to unblock one of their initiatives, as the entity was responsible for producing face cloths and towels. And now the activities that were then performed on number 3 as due were in relation to management and the leadership basically bringing together the entity with IDC for IDC to be able to provide funding to buy machinery for the entity to be able to produce those face cloths and towels. And subsequent to that, there was also negotiations that were done with companies such as Masmat, so that these companies can then be able to sell these products to their various entities. So in doing those activities, there'll obviously be transactions that go through. There'll be meetings, there'll be traveling. In doing that, management must ensure that they record the transactions as and when they occur according to the accounting framework. So their debits and credits must still be correct while they are implementing that activity. Over and above that, as they are procuring for travel and all these other activities, they need to make sure that they are compliant with the legislation. They need to make sure that they have controls in place that ensures that they comply with the legislation. And their indicators and targets still need to remain smart. And as and when they report, say, for instance, on this particular item, they need to report on it correctly, they need to report on it accurately, and they need to make sure that it is complete. Then looking at number 4 on check, this is, as I said, where the assurance providers then come in, where you will have the internal audit looking at the controls in the environment. We will also come in as external audit, and then we will also issue our opinions on there, and then we will also have other various assurance providers such as the audit committee. Then once that has been done, we then expect the leadership of the various entities out of the outcomes to then implement consequence management where it is required, which is part five of acting. Where there has been any form of transgressions, there is an expectation that these entities, together with the department, will then take action against anyone who has transgressed, and which would have led to a delay in achieving the objectives of the entity and the department. So basically, our view is if number 2, 3, 4, and 5 are operating correctly, there should be an improvement in the audit outcome as number 6. So this basically will then lead to also eventually an impact on the better lives of the citizens, just like the example that we have given, that if everything has been complied with and everything has been done correctly and the KPI has been monitored correctly, there should be an impact in the economy through such an entity where economic development assisted with the producing of towels and face cloths. Then with regards to the audit promise and forecast from our side, on an annual basis, we audit three areas. We audit the financial statements. This is to confirm whether they have been fairly presented and if they are reliable. And secondly, we also audit the performance information. This is where we determine whether the reporting has been done reliably and credibly against the predetermined objectives. And we also then look at compliance with key legislation in the environment. There are then 5 different audit outcomes that each entity can achieve, starting with the first one, which is unqualified with findings and also better known as a clean audit. This is where an entity has submitted financial statements that are free of material misstatements, and there were also no misstatements identified with the usefulness and reliability of performance information, and there were also no material non-compliance with key legislation. Then the next audit outcome that can be achieved is on financially unqualified with findings. This is where the entity has been able to produce financial statements that are without material errors, or if they do have material errors, they have been able to correct them. And also it could also be in a scenario where there are other material non-compliance with the legislation, and also where there are material misstatements on the performance information. Then in the next slide, there are then the 3 other outcomes that can be achieved by the entity, the first one being a qualified opinion, which is basically where there are material misstatements in the financial statements that could not be corrected, and then these are confined to certain areas and hence are qualified. But if these are then not confined and they affect a number of other accounts in the financial statements, then this would lead to either an adverse opinion in a scenario of a disagreement or a disclaimer opinion in a scenario of a limitation of scope. The next slide just basically puts all 5 together just so we can see them in one slide. So the most desirable outcome would be on unqualified opinion with no findings with the green borders on it. Now, with regard to the actual audit outcomes and key messages that we want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee, so firstly, starting with the overall audit outcomes within the portfolio, as we can see that there actually has been an improvement as compared to prior year, where all 4 entities were sitting with unqualified with findings, and we do see an improvement of Competition Commission and Competition Tribunal, who have both moved into unqualified with no findings. And there has been a stagnation on EDD and ITEC. With regard to the department, the cause of the unqualified with findings relates to SEM legislation which was not complied with, which resulted into irregular expenditure. And with regard to ITEC, the misstatements related to the performance information where some of the indicators were not smart. So if we look at the second block on the 3-year trend on compliance, we can see that in the prior year, all entities had compliance issues. There we see a huge improvement as three of the entities were able to move into a space where they do not have findings on compliance with legislation and only economic development that remains. And as I said earlier on, this relates to the SCM compliance. And on the next set of the slide, we're looking at the quality of the annual performance plan and also the quality of the annual performance report. Looking at the quality of the annual performance plan, there actually has been a stagnation in that area, because although the EDD did improve, ITEC has actually regressed, and there were indicators as indicated in ITEC's annual plan that were not smart. And when we look at the quality of the annual performance reports that were submitted, we do highlight two entities there, being EDD and ITEC. However, we do want to state that with regard to economic development, the error that was noted with regard to the quality of the performance report was in relation to consistency, where we noted that what they had planned was not consistent with what they had reported. This was, however, subsequently corrected, and hence, as an overall, we do not issue material misstatements on the annual performance report of the department. In the next slide, we then briefly touch on the status of key control, starting with the leadership. And in the, if you look at both Competition Commission and Competition Tribunal, both entities are fairly green on internal controls, which speaks directly to their audit outcome on unqualified with no findings. There are areas that require improvement in key controls, at both economic development and ITEC, where we're saying that the leadership should provide oversight in relation to SCM, complying with SCM legislation at EDD, and also improving controls in relation to performance information at ITEC. We also note that there are key positions that are vacant at the economic development, and there are currently staff members who are acting in those positions, those being the Director General and the Chief Financial Officer. And there are also key control issues with regard to policies at both the department and ITEC, where we say policies need to be updated as soon as the legislation has changed so that the entities ensure that they comply. And we're also noting that daily and monthly controls at the economic development need to be improved, especially around assets. With regards to compliance, we have highlighted it as yellow for all four entities, where we're saying there are still key controls that we are noting, although they did not lead to material misstatements in the current year for the two entities being Competition Commission and Tribunal, but we still recommend that there be an improvement on those areas so that they can be able to sustain the clean audit outcome at CC and CT. With regard to the assurance provider level, at first level, which is where we'll start with regard to senior management and accounting officers, this is where we're saying that both EDD and ITEC need to strengthen controls for EDD around the SCM and for ITEC around how they then draft their indicators and targets so that they meet the SMART criteria. And the portfolio committee has been evaluated against the oversight role that it provided in regard to robust budget vote processes, and also the follow-up that they have made with the entities to address audit findings, and also with regard to the legislative oversight requirement that it robustly engages with the department on its role and mandate. There are no issues that have been identified for all entities on internal audit and audit committees. The next part of my presentation touches on performance management that is linked to the key projects that we have audited. So to start it off, we looked at the programs that are within the department, and they are allocated budget, and how the budget has been spent, and how much of the indicators and targets have been achieved against the budget that has been spent. So there were three programs at the department, firstly being Program 1 on administration, which we did not audit, but we noted that the spending there was at 97.8%, and they achieved 100% for that program. Program 2, which was audited, there were no material findings on usefulness and reliability. And as I said earlier on, that although there were material findings in reliability on consistency, these have been subsequently corrected, and hence we do not raise material findings. And with regard to the budget on Program 2, the entity has spent 93% and has achieved 109%. With regard to Program 3, similarly to Program 2, there are no material findings on usefulness and reliability, and there were material adjustments as well that had to be processed on Program 3, and the entity spent 99% of that budget and achieved 122% of their targets. Worth of noting is that on the spending of 546 million, there is a 213 million that was transferred to CIFA through IDC to finance its financial economic activities. These funds contribute close to 20% towards the funds dispersed by CIFA as loans during the 2016-17 financial year. Please also refer to page 32 to 54 of the annual report that gives details of the actual targets of these programs that we are referring to. As I said earlier on, that worth noting in that budget is that there is a 32% that has been transferred to CIFA through the IDC, and this transfer links directly to KPI 17 in the annual performance plan of the department, which reads as number of reports on the level and impact of industrial finance available from IDC and the department. And within this KPI, we have noted the activities that have been undertaken by the department together with the development finance institutions, which is IDC and CIFA, where they had a supplier forum to support investments in local business funding. Funding and integrated opportunities were discussed with local businesses. We also noted that the IDC had to submit, including CIFA, through had to submit reports to the department, and we noted that there were reports that had been submitted, and these reports were on the review of level of township funding available at CIFA. Where the financial statements are concerned, the transactions that would have went there would have been the various transfers, and there were no errors that were noted through the financial statements. With regard to compliance with Section 38, where the entities need to provide confirmation that they will comply with the PFMA, there were no compliance issues that were noted. And with regard to performance information, the reporting that came through from the department on this KPI was correct, and there were no misstatements that were noted. In the next slide, I then also go through the compliance with legislation and also the quality of the financial statements that were submitted. Starting with the compliance with legislation, if we look at firstly prevention of irregular expenditure, we can see that there has been an improvement in the portfolio, where in the previous year all entities had material findings on prevention of irregular expenditure. However, in the current year, this has only occurred at the department. With regard to consequence management, as you can see, the dark blue color is not there. That indicates that in the current year, none of the entities, including the department, had material misstatements on consequence management. This was only at EDD in the previous year, which then indicates an improvement. If we look at the next slide, and on the hard copies, there has been an adjustment and a correction that has been updated there on the heading, where we are saying that if you look at 2015-16, there were actually 50% of the entities that submitted the financial statements with misstatements. It's only after the correction that 100% of the entities were then able to achieve unqualified audit opinions. In the current year, all entities have improved and all entities submitted financial statements that are free from material misstatements, and that then has an impact on the audit outcome in general. And with regard to irregular expenditure, I will then start with the definition of irregular expenditure, where we're saying irregular expenditure is expenditure that is incurred in contravention of key legislation. And in this case, goods and services have been received and delivered. It is only the process, the prescribed process, that was then not followed. With regard to irregular expenditure within the portfolio, as we can see that in 14-15, the amount of irregular expenditure was below a million. In 2015-16, the amount was just below 4 million, and in the current year, it is below a million. Now, looking at the actual nature of irregular expenditure that was incurred, and as we had said, this is at the Economic Development Department, the irregular expenditure of 348,000 was incurred, and the nature of the non-compliance was with regard to not obtaining three quotations, and also where goods were split to circumvent the application of the Triple PFA Act. And the impact of this then can be seen on the audit report of the economic development on paragraph 18. Now, these are the root causes and that we have noted that led to the audit outcomes and the commitments and recommendations that have then been made. With regard to the root causes, firstly, it's with regard to slow response that has been noted from management and the accounting officer, and this occurred, as indicated earlier on, at the department and at ITEC. This has been an improvement compared to prior year, where the other two entities have been able to address the findings that were raised in the prior year. There's also a root cause on instability or vacancies in key positions at the department. As already mentioned, that both the Director General and the CFO position are vacant. And we therefore also recommend that there should be a timely response on the audit recommendations at both the department on monitoring laws and regulations, especially with regard to SCM and also on performance information. The following are the key commitments that have been done by the minister. We were able to meet the minister twice, and we also met him just after, just before we issued the audit outcomes to give a similar brief on the 20th of July. And we discussed in this engagement the responses on the root causes. And this is where we were able to obtain an update on the commitments and also the new commitments that the minister has provided. With regard to the green bordered area, we see that the department has been able to comply to compile regular financial statements with disclosure notes in order to improve the quality of the annual financial statements. This is also evidenced by the fact that the financial statements that were presented in the current year for all four entities did not have material misstatements. Then the other one that has been implemented is where financial statements have been reviewed by the accounting officer and the internal audit to confirm and ensure validity, completeness, and accuracy of the financial statements. There's also irregular expenditure reports that are being compiled on a monthly basis by unit heads who will then declare the irregular expenditure that has been incurred. This is also confirmed by the fact that the amount that we are seeing as disclosed in irregular expenditure on the department was actually identified by the department itself. The new commitments emanating from the current year outcomes, that the department will strengthen its processes, its procurement processes, in order to prevent irregular expenditure, and also that the department will improve the preparation of the evidence file on performance information. This will ensure that there are no consistency issues in the reporting. The commitments that are still in progress are the action plans to address the findings. These have now been subsequently updated to the outcome for the 16-17 financial year. And there's still a process on the feasibility assessment of EDD, of an EDD sector, where we are anticipating that there will be an alignment of the annual performance plan of the department at national level and also at provincial level. And also the department is in a process of focusing on human resource management in ensuring that vacancies are filled, and also to align the organizational structure to be in compliance with the public service regulation. And these are now the proposed commitments by the portfolio committee that we believe will assist the audit outcomes to improve in the 17-18 cycle, where we are proposing that the Portfolio Committee must request management to provide feedback on the implementation of the action plans to address poor audit outcomes during their quarterly reporting, and also that the Portfolio Committee must request management to provide quarterly feedback on the status of key controls, and also that the Portfolio Committee must request quarterly feedback on progress of filling of vacancies at EDD and ITEC, and finally, list of actions taken against transgressors must be provided quarterly to the Portfolio Committee for follow-up. And as a last section to my presentation is with regard to the AGSA methodology and improvements. So firstly, it's with regard to the status of records review, where we are saying that as part of our improvement on what we historically had as a key control assessment on a quarterly basis, we'll now have a status of records review where there'll be a proactive follow-up procedures that are performed on both financial and non-financial information. And there'll be discussions that are held with management with regard to the relevant outcome of the reports. This status of review records will focus on the colorful block on the focus areas, being the oversight and monitoring, financial management, performance management, procurement, compliance management, HR management, IT, and financial health. What these status of records review will do for the various entities, it will be able to highlight key areas of concerns that may derail progress in the upcoming year, and this will then give management and the leadership an opportunity to be able to put in corrective actions timely to be able to achieve improved audit outcomes. In the next slide, we then highlighting that there has been an improvement or a revised revision on the audit methodology at the AGSA, and this has been implemented for the 2016-17, as you would have seen on the slides, where we also focused on, as we said, areas that really do matter. So the methodology was researched in depth, and there has been consultations with numerous stakeholders both locally and internationally, and the methodology has been tested prior to its implementation, and this has assisted us to be more focused and also more integrated. Speaking of integration, if we look at a portfolio like economic development in our environment, this would then mean that where we have a business unit on performance, they would then also bring in additional expertise to help with the understanding of the entity and ensure that our messages are more aligned. So in this case, we did involve economists from our side who then assisted with the process of auditing the performance information in some of the areas. And I think that brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
For the detailed presentation, I think this was coupled with further information and education on the work of the AG. Thank you so much for the brief. I can see that the Competition Commission's audit brief, is it by accident or is it intentional that you did not include the case of 700 and something thousand, or you find it was immaterial? Before I open the matter for further discussion.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our approach on it was mainly to look at the areas that had big amounts of votes that are flowing into it, and hence our focus was on what then occurred on the CIFA side of things. We did not look at that area.
Thank you.
$35,000. The case is with the... You know why I'm asking? It's because it is said here that there was forensic investigation related to that, and that a case has been opened, a fraud case has been opened with the police, which to me then says it's a civil case opened with the police. But then they're saying there were no consequences instituted against the employee because the said employee resigned. But then my question is, why is it not a case on your brief? Besides that, what does the person's resignation has to do with them not instituting any further? Because this is a civil case. There's a civil case opened already. There's another one of 1.7 million that was investigated, the irregular expenditure. And my worry is that there was a condonation requested of from the National Treasury. And interestingly, no consequences or consequence management has been effected. Mm-hmm. You are saying here, as no employee was found liable, but there is irregular expenditure. Perhaps we need to get the clarity before I hand over to members for questions, so that we clear this aspect and we take note also. It is recorded that we have asked this question.
Thank you, Chairperson. So, as Jackie indicated, where there's irregular expenditure, it will indicate that certain processes wasn't followed. It will then either be identified by the entity and reported, or it can be identified through the audit process. In terms of the PFMA, there will be a requirement that any irregular or fruitless expenditure should be investigated to see whether there's any consequences that needs to be imposed, or whether to see whether the irregular expenditure can be condoned or whether it should be recovered. So in this instance, they did implement consequence management, and that's why also in our slides we are saying that everybody implemented the required consequence management through the investigation, and therefore it wasn't reported as a non-compliance finding, because based on what they did, they demonstrated that they did investigate and they did identify whether somebody should be held liable or not. So they complied with the PFMA. The question on whether the person now resigned, I suppose it's something that they could still further pursue, especially if somebody is in government. I know then there should still be means and ways, if they found the person to have been guilty, to still implement consequence management. I mean, we hear in some instances that monies will still be recovered, might it be through pension funds or other means. If they found the person to have been guilty, I'm sure there's ways that they still can pursue the matter further.
What I wanted to find out from you is whether that was not... material enough to can give as an example in your presentation, because I mean, to me, such a small institution, that amount of money is a lot, because of when I look at their budget, for it to be material and not noted.
Chairperson, so if they've identified it, usually the assessment is that if it's irregular expenditure, every rand will be immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
It has been disclosed in the financial statements, and it has been investigated.
Okay. All right. No, thank you. Colleagues, here is the presentation. I think we can note that so that when we interact with the Competition Commission, we then raise that matter further. Any comments, questions, inputs? That it can.
Thank you very much. Let's take this opportunity to appreciate the presentation. The brief comment that we want to make, Chair, relates to the work that the Office of the AG has been doing consistently to try and help the department and entities to improve their work. We want to appreciate the fact that it is this consistency that has resulted in an improved, you know, performance by the department and the entities. Of course, what you have raised is of concern, but I think at the same time it should not then, you know, tend to put a dark cloud on the entire work that the office is doing. We also note the recommendations that they are making as far as the PC is concerned. If they suggest that we monitor quarterly, it smartens us up. You know, quarterly we must be able to can make follow-ups on the areas that are referred to here. You know, accounting, for instance, the issue of vacancies and so on a quarterly basis, so that we are able to arrest, you know, the problems before they even develops further. And last, Chairperson, I think we just want to make this comment because while we are looking generally at the work of government and the institutions of government, including the AG's office and so on, at the same time, we are also looking at issues of transformation. So I think we need to indicate here, Chairperson, that we are impressed with the presentation that is made by the senior manager in the office. The presentation suggests that, you know, this is not just you know, a mere formality type of you know, what is it? The person in that position is not there merely, you know, to add up the numbers and so on. There is quality there. There is what we require, and we think that we are moving in the right direction. And we need to see more of that from the Office of the AG, because transformation is key to development in our country. We wanted to mention that, Chair, because it's important for us to be able to can say there is quality change in our countries, but particularly around issues of power and authority and so on, and empowerment. Real empowerment, not tokenism. So we just wanted to mention that we are impressed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tetlani. Any other?
Thank you, Chair. Mine is a small one. I request clarity on the issue of CIFA still getting transfers from. Is it not the SM small business? Maybe I forgot, but I just wanted to be clarified. Why are we still talking of ITC transferring to CIFA, which affects us? And secondly, on the issue of repeat offences, especially the EDD, the issue of filling of vacancies, and the issue of irregular expenditure. The explanation is one always, either not paying within 30 days. My question is it not any other thing that we can do to search? Because really we are not winning. we are just minimizing. It's just one question of people doing their work because it's a procurement process. The PFMA requires that to happen. Why are they still repeating such? We cannot have explanation year in, year out that we're having. They are minimizing. Why are they not stopping altogether?
Namazimbe, Bobcela. Okay. Yeah. There's a saying in Afrikaans, piki piki maak meer. And it's normally said in a positive way. But piki piki maak meer also can be negative. Because if we leave these little things, they end up adding on. And hence, you find most of the time our committee on public accounts being burdened with things that could ordinarily have been, you know, done and dusted prior to, you know, them getting whatever. So I'm worried that, like the issue that I was raising earlier on, and at it then, it falls under that piki-piki mark mirror. Because you live a little, you know, little by little, the next time it becomes bigger. And you are not able then to manage by then. So if you start with the smaller things, you are able then to nip it on the butt, and then it will not go on. If we leave such things to fall off the crack, I think they are going to, departments become very comfortable with the Auditor General because they know I will always respond to the management letter. Even if I respond at the last minute, I'll still get a positive outcome because there will be that understanding. To me, sometimes it's like we're not I'm avoiding using other words, but we're too soft. As a result, departments know that they can always come and do as they wish. I don't think when you give an audit opinion it's because you don't like somebody or you don't like it. You're just instilling, you know, good practices so that they know that they cannot come at the end. I don't understand a situation where you have internal audit unit. You have audit committees, and then the last one is Auditor General, but you still cannot, you know. And then when it comes to Auditor General, it's treated like an internal audit thing, and the Auditor General allows that. That's why I don't understand. Because to me, auditing, it's a very serious thing. It's not just a by-the-way thing that anybody can just come in and say yes. Or no. By the fact that they take long to respond to management letters, or the last minute, you know, bring an explanation to an audit, to the management letter, it says to me that there's something that is not right. I know auditors would want to do their job, and they would want to appear good also. But sometimes it's very good to not be like KPMG at the end of the day. We have an example, a living example. Tomorrow, we must have trust. We must have faith in the work that is being done. And to me, it's very important even to highlight the minute thing and make it a problem. Even if you don't think it's that important. But to us, it's very important to know that Competition Commission has done 1, 2, 3 and is not able to. It was not able to. And you give an opinion on that. You can't just leave it. An employee is gone and then the money is gone and nobody, everything is done and dusted. 1 point something million is, you know, irregularly spent. Nobody is held accountable. Everything is understood, and no, nothing from yourselves. To me, it doesn't make sense. You cannot just note that the department or the corporate the entity said, and therefore we agree with them, and not say anything. Just note it. I don't know, but I feel there's something that's not right. I'm sorry about that. I feel there's something that is really, really not right. Hence, we have the challenges that we are having today, irrespective of the fact that year in, year out, we get audit opinions. I want to agree that we... The challenges that, or the proposals on the commitments that you've just put for us are noted, but I also want to indicate that these are issues that we raise from time to time. Actually, if you check our reports, you'll realize that these are on a quarterly basis, even on an annual basis, are issues that we continue to raise. As soon as we finish with you, when we engage with the department, we deal with these issues. All of them as they are. And we will continue to do that. Because to us, it's a continuous process. We worried also about the filling of vacancies at the department, even up to our last briefing on the fourth quarter of 2016 and 17, and also in the first quarter, we dealt with those issues of filling of vacancies. We also asked about the ITEC. There was a response to that, and I believe that in the second quarter report, we were promised to get something in as far as the ITEC structure is concerned. Very much agreeable to the list of actions taken on the transgressors, because that might be something that we haven't done. Actually, it is something that we haven't done. But I think we'll be following it in our next meeting, starting with this one, that for tomorrow and next week, we will be doing that. Otherwise, thank you so much. We really value the work that you are doing, because if we were not getting these briefings, we are not going to be able to really understand the type of challenges our department is having. You got comments from us. I think you need to. It's fair to give you the opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the comments and the questions. Before I hand over to Jackie to respond on the CIFA transfer and the repeat offences, I would just like to say the commitments, as we said, it's proposed commitments, and it's really just a reinforcement of what has happened last year already, and I suppose that is why we can see the improvement within the portfolio in terms of the outcomes. So from our side, it's just a reconfirmation and the reaffirmation of what we see that is working. Then in terms of the work that the AG is doing, I mean, we're very passionate and proud about the quality of the work that we're delivering, as well as our independence. Maybe just a bit of clarity. Jackie showed me now that the Competition Commission, the 700,000 that you're referring to, was actually last year identified. So in terms of our presentation, we won't as much focus on what happened last year in terms of what was identified as irregular. What we would have done this year is to look at whether the entity did go through an investigation process and then consequences, whether they've made that decision. So that is the part that we did, is following up on that. But we also need to be very mindful of our mandate when it comes to the actual consequences that is being recommended. From where we're sitting, there's an accounting authority, there is management, there is a minister, where that responsibility stays in, because in our audit process we will audit, we will have findings and we will make recommendations. But in terms of our current mandate, we can't enforce that recommendation. And we will look in terms of the bodies, and the accounting authority has the mandate to implement the appropriate consequence management to do that. So I think just from our side.
You can have an opinion on the actions. Because you are, I mean, you are auditing the accounts of government.
Yes.
And therefore, whether you stand in favor of government, and what does consequence management mean? Because you do report there about the consequence management, and then you need to give an opinion, in as far as I'm concerned. Opinion based on what they have told you in the management letter, even if they took action, but if it's the action that is not going to be able to recover the money, unless you are saying you are satisfied that the actions that they've taken is okay. That's what I was talking to.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the SIFA matter, this we noted that on the vote for the 16-17 financial period, an amount of 231 was appropriated for SIFA through the economic development. And we did make a further inquiry with management to get a better understanding with regard to the relationship that the department still has with SIFA. And it has been indicated to us that SIFA has moved to small business. It was just the appropriation itself that still remained with the department, and it's something that's still in a process of being moved out of the economic development and will eventually end up with small business. However, at relationship level, SIFA is a subsidiary of the IDC, which is a IDC is an entity within the economic development, and it's at that level that there are still some shared responsibility and shared program-related items that they then report to the economic development. So that is our current understanding of the relationship between economic development and SIFA. And with regard to repeat findings on irregular expenditure and also on the root cause of vacancies, we fully agree with the portfolio committee that there needs to be an urgent action that is taken on repeat areas where management needs to put in proper controls to ensure that they prevent irregular expenditure, especially if it's something that has been highlighted in the previous cycles. If you look at the commitments that have been done by the minister, he's referring to the action plans being updated to make sure that they cover all areas that are affected in the current year to bring in a better improvement. From our side, if you look at one of the very last slides that I presented on the status of review records, where we'll be coming in on a quarterly basis to further highlight these issues to the department, to say if you are not taking action, if you are not implementing the relevant control and the appropriate control, you'll find yourself in a similar scenario at the end of 17-18. So this will then be almost an early warning scenario to assist in correcting the previous identified repeat findings. And the portfolio committee has also noted a number of the recommendations, and we think coupled with that, from an assurance perspective, from both an external audit and also from portfolio committee, that should eventually lead to improved audit outcomes, and that we believe will have an impact. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the responses, and we really appreciate that. Did the department indicate as to when will be their last transfer? Because I thought the monies were now appropriated through SBT.
Thank you, Chairperson. This has not been indicated to us. It is something that we can look at again during the 17-18 and also ask the question if there is still appropriation to CIFA.
You know why? Because CIFA is accountable to SBD. It might be a subsidiary of ITC, but in terms of accounting channels, it's accountable that side. So it won't be okay that we also call in CIFA this side when monies have to be, accounted for. So this is something that we'll definitely also raise with the minister in the department so that we can get a commitment as to when are they intending to appropriate the money in the SBD. Otherwise, thank you so much for the presentation and also for the responses. You always enlighten us on issues that are very important regarding to the work that we should be doing. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm not sure lunch includes. They're included tomorrow. Okay. Where we go? Okay, can I hand over to Peter Paul in terms of the lunch so that he explains that?
Thank you, Chair. We will have lunch downstairs at V8. I'm sure Sydney will be able to take us there. Chair, I'll leave it to you to just sort of discuss because I see that we're running a tad early to when we can come back from lunch and take the last presentation.
Well, a minute.
In that case, Chair, I think we can then proceed to lunch and make it back at 22:20, which will see us being still some 40 minutes earlier than scheduled.
Fortunate, we will be joined by the commission. I think they'll join us for lunch. Yeah. So I think we might even start earlier because they are here already so that you can finish earlier. You're also welcome to join us.
Thank you, Chair. We have a couple of meetings
today. So you won't be able to join us. Okay. You know, you don't do that in our culture. You must at least have something before you leave the home, our home. Even if it's what? We don't want to audit our food. Okay. No, it's understandable. Thank you so much. All right. All the best for your other meetings.
Thank you. Anybody want to start meetings today, sir?
So tell me, is that your overall
tomorrow?
So, obviously, the control environment.
can't then come back to me. So that they prevent you from asking further questions. They just say, okay, we've dealt with it. It's not satisfactory, but I agree, we will have to deal with it. We'll have to follow it up ourselves and deal with it. But I'm saying it becomes more, it has more weight when it comes from you than us. Because they know that you can't really mess up with the aging.
It's obviously when we will engage with them.
Probably like international relations.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the DTI as well. And what else? And higher education. Yeah, and police.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, but not a lot of people. I wouldn't. Yeah, I've been to police probably twice.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very efficient